Leading Aviation Back from the Bad Economy, Two Studies in Personal Style. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. NBAA 2009 officially wraps up this afternoon in Orlando, and there's been some genuine optimism about the year ahead in aviation. But there have also been some warnings from people whose perspectives we respect that aviation needs to conduct itself differently if we're to climb out of this hole. You may have heard that on Monday, Hawker Beechcraft CEO Bill Boyster rallied the troops, literally, with an address delivered using both language and dress prepared along a military theme. Here's part of it.
At Hawker Beechcraft, we're on a mission. We're in a conflict, as you can see. It's a difficult one. Our mission is to prevail against unprecedented economic and financial market forces. This time last year, the forces of economic implosion and government clumsiness combined to drive through our defenses and those of our industry and have inflicted significant damage. Our mission today is to counterattack, to launch an all-out offensive using weapons ideally suited for the purpose. First, the weather for today's mission. Forward visibility is restricted. There will be turbulence. There will be hot air from Washington, D.C. We could see some consolidation in the buildups before dawn. And there'll likely be clearer air internationally. Let's go over the rules of engagement. The escape and evasion directions. If shot down, remain clear of areas populated with bankers, congressmen, and members of the executive branch. At all costs, avoid members of the press who think sensational perch stories are more important than American jobs and the export trade balance. In the unlikely event you're taken captive, resist the efforts at interrogation. There's a couple things I'd like you to be prepared to say when interrogated. State clearly that there will be a victory in this mission. It will start when used aircraft pricing matches the bank's view of residual value and their propensity to lend. That's when it will start. Why will it start? Because people need to travel to where they do business. They're concerned about privacy, time, safety, and security. Those things have not changed during this conflict. Do not hesitate to state, and state very clearly, the airlines have fallen, and they cannot get up. While behind enemy lines, take prisoner any customer who has the confidence in their future business and is looking to make a smart decision to achieve a competitive edge by owning a WES, not a WMD, but a WES, a weapon of economic success from Hawker Beechcraft. This conflict began actually several years ago when there began to be a divergence in the growth of the economies internationally from that of the U.S., which had been the primary target area for our business for many years. Then in 2009, collectively, both the international and the U.S. markets plunged into a negative GDP growth rate. Most importantly, this is not about numbers, this is about people. And this is where this gets very real. In Fort Wichita, 27% of the aerospace workers are on the sideline. Possibility for further reductions are real. During recent months, our strength to wage this battle has been questioned, probably by agents who wish us no wealth. Taken in total, this presents a fairly daunting task for the world's largest privately owned business and general aviation company, Hawker Beechcraft. That American writer and philosopher Mark Twain said it best, so I'll just let him say it about Hawker Beechcraft. We have some very clear, specific, and direct reasons for our optimism about our results in this period of conflict. And I'd like to go briefly through those with you share them with you. We have an extensive network of outposts and strategic areas, many of those on the new battlefields that we believe will be important during this protracted conflict. This ain't our first rodeo. It's not yours either. Many of you have been down this cycle before. This is a little different. But we have real reason here at Hawker Beechcraft for optimism about how this is going to work out for our company. I have some key officers of our company here who will now take you through some of those reasons for our optimism and our outlook that we will win.
I can't bring you the look that went with this presentation in a podcast, but you can see the video that goes with this audio in a feature dated Wednesday, October 21st at aero-tv.net. Bill Boyster is CEO of Hawker Beechcraft. Find out more about his company at www.hawkerbeechcraft.com. In a moment, ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell shares a microphone with Gulfstream President Joe Lombardo, who has his own advice for the industry going forward. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, and on this closing day of NBAA 2009 in Orlando, we're listening to commentary from a couple of industry veterans on what aviation needs to do better going forward. ANN's Jim Campbell got a few minutes with Gulfstream President Joe Lombardo, who observes that the public handling of general aviation's image must be done with care and professionalism, and there's no time to lose.
Joe, obviously, industry advocacy is something that's near and dear to your heart, and particularly to Gulfstream, which has taken a leadership position in this particular role. But the big question is, for the last year, it seems that the industry has been reactive rather than proactive. How do we change this?
Well, first of all, let me make sure that we understand that it's just not been my role. It's my colleagues throughout the industry. Also, the two industries that I mentioned in the press briefing, NBAA and GAMA, played a major role. That's a very good question. We were reactive. We were caught flat-footed. I think what you're going to see is an expansion of advocacy to become more proactive, get in front of some of the groups that can have influence on what's printed and what's said, and make sure that we perform the same function we've been doing with Congress and local officials, and that is education and making sure people understand the importance of general aviation. So just preliminarily, we've already started looking at that expanded campaign, and we think it's going to allow us to become more proactive and pretty much plant the seeds for advocacy in the future. So it's not taken for granted necessarily, but it's something that people will think about before they say something or do something.
When your top-end product is on the order of tens of millions of dollars, you would think that initially it's a hard sell to media and the general public that these are valuable tools. How do you approach the folks that look at this, see it as an extravagance, and don't understand that business aviation means jobs and lots of them?
There's this perception that it's a bunch of irresponsible people flying around doing things for their own personal use versus doing things for their businesses. And it's very, very clear from the information that we're gathering, and it's something that already validates what we already knew. is that really these are tools that they're used extensively, not only by CEOs, but by members of companies that go below the CEO level, and they're out there conducting business, and they're gaining as a result of that. Their profitability, their revenues that they're able to produce, there's some significant results here. And as I mentioned in the briefing, you can debate the statistics, but quite frankly, the message is there. It's something we've always known.
Society, per se, looks at these in just this bizarre way. Obviously, we have to reach out to folks and explain that, you know, there's a way of doing business that they really don't understand. Where does the education begin?
Well, we started it at what we referred to at the grassroots level when we started our campaign in the early part of this year with GAMMA and NBAA. And our intentions were to go into the local communities, especially where general aviation resides, whether it's a supplier or an OEM, or whether it's an airport, and talk to local officials and say, and these are mayors, these are airport authority people, and tell them about a specific example of where their community benefits from the presence of a general aviation member. And when we did that, they began to see that the usage of hotels, the usage of cab drivers, drivers in general, restaurants, so many other areas, as well as the business itself, the direct and indirect impact was significant. They became our best advocates because they were having to field questions from the public that were upset about general aviation and about the image of general aviation. And they were able to do a much better job of communicating and saying, well, wait a minute, I want you to understand how it benefits this community. That's the importance of it. When you get down to the grassroots and work your way up to Congress or to the administration, it has much more significance to it because now they can understand within anybody's particular district, a representative's district, they can understand the value of general aviation. And again, I always underscore the impact and the importance of jobs. That resonates.
And finally, there's this growing rift between the airline community and the rest of business and general aviation. How do we heal that? It's obviously so counterproductive to both of our interests.
Yeah, well, one of them was on the user fees and on how you tax or don't tax the various industries in order to participate in the FAA reauthorization and the funding of the FAA. What I think is going to happen is that we're going to start finding ourselves with some common themes. It's not only going to be things such as authorization and making sure we do a better job on next gen, but when you look at the environment, we have some very clear collaborative points that we can work with the airline industry that are going to be beneficial to the public and to the industry. And I think we'll find those points of interest.
Again, you can find the video that goes with this interview, dated Wednesday, October 21st, at aero-tv.net. Joe Lombardo is president of Gulfstream Aerospace. Find out more about the company at www.gulfstream.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.